Before Andy comes to speak to us, I'm going to read a psalm. It's a short psalm, a small psalm, with a very big meaning. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore.
Let's pray. Father, as we come to think about your word and what it might mean for us today, be with us by your Spirit and teach us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Who'd be King Saul? There he is, rolled up with his armies to have a punch up with the Philistines. What do the Philistines do? They roll out their secret weapon, their weapon of mass destruction, 9'6" of muscle and armor, and says, let's forget the fight, guys. Come on, let's just do this mano a mano, one on one. Send me your champion. And we'll see how we get on. You win, we're your slaves. I win, you're our slaves. Can you imagine the conversations that went on in the ranks among the soldiers? Oi, Abraham, you reckon you're a hard case. Why don't you go and sort him out? If I understand modern linguistics, I think the answer would be something along the lines of, no, I'm good, thanks. The trouble was, for Saul, that not only had he a 9'6" giant to fight on a winner-takes-all basis, this whole thing had been going on for 40 days, twice a day. Goliath was coming out from the camp and shouting his challenge, saying, come and fight me. Come on, guys. You all grown chicken feathers. No one wanted to fight. Then into the camp rolls David. Now, what the story didn't tell us was that David was a busy lad. He was holding down two part-time jobs. He was a shepherd for his dad, but he was also an armor bearer for Saul. Saul had wanted someone who could play for him when he got a bit fed up with life. And somebody had heard that David was really good on the harp and suggested him to Saul, and Saul had brought him in. So Saul knew David. He was an armor bearer and he played his harp for him. And so when he wasn't with Saul, he was looking after his dad's sheep. Now, being a teenager, and that's all David was, he was fascinated with what's going on. If you're at school and somebody starts shouting, voit, 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 what do most teenagers do? Go over and have a look. And that's what David wanted to do. He wanted to see the fight. And then he saw Goliath. And he couldn't understand why no one was going down there and sorting this loudmouth out. Yeah, that's right. He's going to go and sort him out. Just like that. And he started to get angry. Why? This guy is insulting you. He's insulting Israel. Worst of all, he's insulting God. Hasn't anyone got the courage to go out and fight him? If not, I'll do it. And we know from the story that Saul eventually heard about David and allowed David to go and fight. And the rest, as they say, is history. We all face giants. It's just that our giants aren't 9 foot 6 tall, carrying a sword with armour on. They're the things that we find really, really difficult to deal with. That might be going to a new school. It might be making friends somewhere new where you haven't been before. It might be those exams that are really important to you. It might be that health thing that's niggling away at the back of your mind, but you haven't quite found the courage to go and see the doctor about yet. Or it might be a family member who's really unwell. Or it might be the prospect of losing someone that we love. You don't have to be an adult to fight a giant. The thing about giants is not just that they are big. It's how they make us feel. And they make us feel small and weak and insignificant and scared. That was the problem for the Israelites. They looked at Goliath and they felt small against him. They felt weak against him. They were scared of him. But David looked at things differently. He didn't look at Goliath and see a 9 foot 6 giant I can't possibly beat. He saw someone who was insulting his God. And he knew, because he trusted in God, that God wouldn't allow that to stand. He knew that if someone had the courage to step forward and fight Goliath, God would be with them. It's really hard to be brave. And I don't just mean the little bit brave we all have to be sometimes when we've got a dental appointment or an injection coming up or something else that we don't really like and we have to screw ourselves up to go and do. I mean really brave. There was a young lad in India a couple of years ago who got a bravery award from the government. He was about 14, about David's age. Came home from school one day to find his mum facing a tiger in their kitchen. His mum had been so scared she'd fainted and was lying on the floor. So that 14-year-old grabbed a stick and chased the tiger off. He wasn't thinking about himself then. He was thinking about his mum. But he was really brave, because if he had lost, then the tiger might have had him and his mum. The psalm that Yvonne read to us, we don't know whether David wrote it. Some commentators think he might have done. Others think it might have been a psalm that was sung by pilgrims going up to Jerusalem once a year. Others think it might have been a song sung by soldiers before they went into battle. It doesn't really matter. What that psalm does is encapsulates what David's thoughts and mind were. He believed in God. He trusted in God. He trusted that God would be with him. Do you know what the bravest thing is that David did? It was to take the first step over the hill. It's so easy for us to say we're going to do something, but we'll do it tomorrow. And tomorrow comes and there's always a reason for not doing something. The bravest thing we do is when we take the first step to doing something about it. When I was a teenager, I was at a pretty horrible school in Salisbury. It was on an estate. I didn't live on the estate. Therefore, I wasn't part of either of the two gangs that run the school. You knew the teachers were there because you saw their cars in the car park and you saw them in the classroom. You didn't see them any other time of day. So the gangs run the school. And I was smaller than most kids my age, and I didn't live on the estate. I wasn't one of them, therefore I was a target. And I was a target every day at school for 3 years. And it made me physically sick getting up in the morning to go to school. I was so afraid. Until I found the courage to tell someone about it. Now, I therefore broke the basic rule of any senior school. No kid blabs on another kid to the teachers. But I didn't care, because that rule was set in place by all those who were doing the wrong things to protect themselves. Now, after I'd sorted things out, some people didn't want to talk to me because I'd broken the rule, but I didn't really mind about that, because I'd got rid of the giant that was keeping me from going to school. God made a promise to the Israelites, and you'll find it in Deuteronomy, where he said, "Be brave and courageous, for I will always be with you." The writer to the Hebrews repeats that promise, but he repeats it in a particular way. And you'll find it in chapter 13. Verse 5. God has said, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." We can have David's confidence to face the giants that we've got coming this year. David trusted in God. David knew that he was special, he was precious to God. And he knew that God would never leave him. That applies to you and to me this morning if we trust in God. David used a stone to bring down Goliath. There's a couple of boxes of pebbles. They're washed, they're clean, different sizes, some different colours. I'll leave them here. Take one if you want to. And when that giant comes along that you're struggling with, when you're trying to find the courage to take the first step to deal with it, if having a stone will help you remember David, will help you remember that you are precious to God and that he will never leave you, then take one. Put it in your pocket, put it in your handbag, put it on your desk. And let it be a reminder. Can I say to the children, I know that you can face giants too, because I did when I was little. If you want to take a stone, take one. It's not a toy. It's not for throwing around or playing catch with. Put it in your pocket or give it to your mum or dad or grandma or granddad to look after until you get home. But if you want something to help you remember that God loves you, then take one. Shall we pray? Father God, we know that just as you were with David that day when he fought Goliath, you will be with us. For you are greater than any problem, any giant we might ever face. Help us to trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.